नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। बिकम अदितिज सन, टेक्स्ट नंबर 2 और 3। चिंतयन्ति एकया बुद्ध्या महापुरुषमीश्वरम् प्राग्रेन्द्रिय दुष्टास्वान् मनसा बुद्धिसारथि मनश्चैकाग्रया बुद्ध्या भगवती अखिलात्मनि वासुदेवे समाधाय चचार हि पयोवृतम्। ट्रांसलेशन: विथ फुल अनडाइवर्टेड अटेंशन अदिति थॉट अप द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड एंड इन दिस वे ब्रॉट अंडर फुल कंट्रोल हर माइंड एंड सेंसेस व्हिच रिजेंबल्ड फोर्सफुल हॉर्सेस। She concentrated her mind upon the Supreme Lord Vasudeva. Thus, she performed the ritualistic ceremony known as Payobrata. Purport: this is the process of Bhakti Yoga. Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anabratam Anukulenya Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktiruttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. One simply has to concentrate upon the lotus feet of Vasudeva Krishna, Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayo. Then the mind and senses will be controlled and one can engage himself fully in the devotional service of the Lord. The devotee does not need to practice the Hatha Yoga system to control the mind and senses. His mind and senses are automatically controlled because of unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. Hare Krishna. So today we are reading from this Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8. The Lord agrees to become Aditi's son. And these two verses, it is explained how Aditi performed her austerities or payobrata. And in these two verses especially, it is explained how she focused her mind and controlled her senses and focused her mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead with all her intelligence. So these two verses, a lot of analogies is given within it, like the senses are compared to horses, the mind is compared to the ropes that goes through the nose of nostrils of horses, and the driver controls them. The driver himself is the intelligence. Driver is compared to intelligence, and the passenger is the soul. We know this analogy. It's in the Bhagavad Gita. There is a picture is there. And the senses are compared to horses because they are very strong and formidable. They can easily drag. Just like sometimes we drive on highways, the moment we lose control over the steering, the wheels will take us to the ditch, basically, down the road. Because wheels are strong, powerful. They are carrying us. They are like horses. Therefore, the driver has to be very attentive. The driver has to be very focused. The intelligence has to be focused. And not only focused, there has to be control over the steering, which is the mind. Because if the mind is not controlled, then senses can easily drag us away from our goal or destination. The whole chariot is meant to take us to a destination where ultimately we will find peace and rest. Similarly, this body is compared to a vehicle. Yantra Rudhani Maya, Krishna explains. It's like a machine, it's like a vehicle And our senses are like the horses. The legs carries us to places. I see, they're like the propulsion, they're like the headlight of a car. And the soul is the driver in this, the passenger in this vehicle, and the mind and the intelligence are respectively the steering and the driver. The mind, if it is not focused, especially mind is stressed in this particular verse, then we will never reach the destination. So what is this focus means? Recently one brahmachari was telling me a story. There was one priest and one bus driver. They are living together. In Bombay these things happen. You know, different kind of people staying together. So the priest used to go to the, he's like a preacher, he was giving, you know, lectures on Gita and things like that. And the bus driver used to drive his buses. And they used to come together and eat together and go to rest and things like that. But one day it so happened that both of them died together. They're living together and they died together. Perfection of a relationship. But when they died, they reached the heavenly planets, because the bus driver was also with a priest, so he also got there. But after reaching, the bus driver was immediately called inside and the priest was asked to wait. And he was waiting and waiting, waiting. For a long time he was waiting. The bus driver was called inside and he was sent to a nice place, given a nice restroom, things like that, a position. And this guy was waiting, and after a lot of time, somebody came to pick him up. Then he said, well, we stayed together. I know him, he knows me. I was always speaking about God. But why is it that you allowed him to come immediately, not me? Then they said, well, when you are giving class or lectures, people are going to sleep. But when he was driving, everybody was praying intensely. So everybody was focused basically. So what is done is not important, but the intent, the quality of our sadhana, the way what we speak or what we hear, everything, the chanting or worshipping deities, everything has to be done in a very focused way with a proper intention. Here it is explained, Anya Velashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Nabritam. There is another verse also similarly. It says, Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam Tatparatana Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Shevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. So bhakti means engaging mind and senses. Bhakti does not mean subduing mind and senses. Bhakti is a positive process. There has to be engagement. Rishikena Rishikesha Shevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. So when one renders service to Krishna with a focused mind, then the contaminations, these material designations or the material desires, they get washed away. And one then experiences Krishna in a positive way. So it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada also explained the purport, Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo. And this verse is referring to Maharaj Ambarish. Maharaj Ambarish always engaged his mind in meditating upon the lotus feet of the Lord, of Krishna. So Maharaj Ambarish's mind was always focused on the lotus feet of Krishna. His words in describing the glories of the Lord, whatever he spoke, it was a glorification of the Lord. His hands in cleansing the Lord's temple, and his ears in hearing the words spoken by Krishna or about Krishna. He engaged his eyes in seeing the deity of Krishna, Krishna's temple and Krishna's places like Mathura and Vrindavan. He engaged his sense of touch in touching the bodies of the Lord's devotees. He engaged his sense of smell in smelling the fragrance of Tulasi offered to the Lord, and he engaged his tongue in tasting Lord's Prasad. He engaged his legs in walking to holy places and temples of the Lord, his head in bowing down before the Lord, and all his desires in serving the Lord, 24 hours a day. Indeed, Maharaj Ambarish never desired anything for his own sense gratification. He engaged all his senses in devotional service, in various engagements related to the Lord. This is the way to increase attachment for the Lord and be completely free from all material desires. So one may be thinking, how is this possible? Such a thing is possible, that man always speaks about Krishna, thinks about Krishna. Wherever he goes to holy places. Or his smell sense is using to take the fragrance of Tulasi and flowers offered to the Lord. Always it only prasad and nothing else. So these are like very inconceivable thing, especially at this time and age. Is it really possible? Yes, this is possible only if one develops a taste for these things. Unless we have taste, we cannot do anything in this world. Like I have seen in our schools and colleges time, those who have interest in particular thing, they quickly grow in those things. Because they have a taste, they are able to focus, and they are able to progress or advance. Those who are good at mathematics, they pick it up, they absorb and just grow. Those who are good at games, they advance, but parents stop them from being advanced. They force them to study, but it's very difficult. Ultimately, they become businessmen, things like that. But we have seen, unless there is a taste, we cannot. Just like when the Chinese food came to India long back in the 80s, I remember people would be very, very, you know, they won't be liking that food because it's noodles or, you know, they're like kind of worms and very difficult to appreciate quickly. It took some time. But as soon as people start getting the taste, they accepted. Similarly with the pizza. You know, people, those who are not grown up eating those things, they cannot appreciate suddenly. But if you give it a try, take it for a few times, then gradually you like it. It's like that. But is Krishna consciousness a similar thing? That means, is if I force myself to appreciate Krishna, then I end up liking Krishna? Do I have to force myself? And the answer is no. Because the attraction and love for Krishna is already there in the heart. It is simply covered now. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Sarvanadi Siddha Jitya Karayudaya. That if one hears with attachment, with attention, it is already there. And when we give it a try, immediately it arouses. It gets, you know, revived. So, therefore, one has to give Krishna consciousness a proper try. Because in this world, we have tried so many things in so many different ways. And every time we try, we get different results. Sometimes there is pleasure, sometimes there is pain. But here, one has to apply as an alternative. Krishna is saying here that we have tried so many different things in so many different ways, and we never looked into or the process of Krishna consciousness, or never took Krishna seriously in our lives, or never took devotees seriously in our lives. Like, I have been seeing devotees since my childhood. Like, Hare Krishna devotees are all over. You also must have been seeing. But after so many years, by inconceivable mercy, we get association of devotees. And suddenly, we say, let us try it out. Things like that, you know. And then whole things just opens up. But then, to try it out, the conditions are, one has to be focused. And in this way, one tries to develop taste in this process. So in the 7th chapter of Gita, in the beginning, when Krishna is about to speak, is going to speak about himself from 7th chapter onwards. The first 6 chapters, we know, basically speaks about how we are not this body but spirit soul, how we are entangled in this world, and how by the various process of yogas we can re-establish our relationship with Krishna through karma, jnana and ashtanga or hatha yoga. But in the end of 6th chapter, Krishna explains that among all yogis, the best one is one who always thinks of me, who always renders service to me. So then in the 7th chapter onwards, Krishna starts speaking about himself. Just like if one wants to think about somebody, some person, then we should know what that person is. What is his likings? What is his personality? Just like people are attracted to so many personalities of this world, so many celebrities we are attracted to. So then Krishna speaks about himself so that we understand who this person is. And when you hear about him, then we'll develop attraction for him. Then we can focus our mind on him. Therefore, in the 7th chapter, Krishna very lovingly speaks to Arjun, saying, Maya sakta manaha partha yogam yunjan madasraya asam sam samagram mam yatha gyasasi tat srunu. The Supreme Personality of God had said, now here, Osana Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. So Krishna is kind of requesting Arjuna. Arjuna has already surrendered to Krishna. He was in a bewildered state. You know, in the first chapter itself, Arjuna's bewilderment is explained. Arjuna Vishad Yoga. Or Arjuna in a bewildered state, in a very confused state, in a frustrated state. Actually, if you see that chapter, we see how Arjuna, although very learned, very successful, very expert, and very successful also, but suddenly after he was the best of all people available at that point of time. He was a very good man. And he always wanted to be good. But despite all his desire to being a good person in this world, still he was frustrated. Still, he found himself in a battlefield, face to face with his own kinsmen. It explained that a range of people are standing against him, from grandfather to grandson, from uncle, brother-in-laws, and father-in-laws, father, sons, brothers, friends, all kind of relatives standing there just to fight against him. And he was completely confused. I wanted to be a good man. Why this is happening to me? So, in that bewildered state, he is surrendering to Krishna, asking him, what should I do now? Should I go for the war or should I just give up everything and be a beggar? Of course, Krishna starts speaking to him about various things. But that bewilderment is basically because of his attachment to this world. It is explained, Prabhupada explains very nicely in the 2nd chapter. Sometimes he says, Arjuna being a devotee is very compassionate. And he feels sorry for his own friends and relatives and is not willing to kill them in a war. Because this, he says, after all, he is my grandfather, he is my guru, he is my military teacher. How can I kill them? He is my brother, after all, even if he is inimical towards me, but still he is my brother, how can I kill? So he was feeling compassion, not only for his own people who are willing to fight for him, but for those who are standing against him. He was feeling compassionate for him. So that is the nature of devotee, Prabhupada says. But then other places says, it is the weakness of heart of Arjuna. Now this is what happens in this world, in relationship. we try to show compassion to our friends and relatives. But while showing compassion, we get entangled by the material energy and forget our real relationship with the Lord and our real duty as a spirit soul. So that's what exactly happened to Arjuna. And here Krishna is saying, you have to divert all your attention from all this material stuff and try to focus on me. And how? Maya asakta. Your mind should be attached to me. There should be attachment. Then you perform yoga under my shelter, madashra, full consciousness of me. Then, without any doubt, do not have any doubts. Asamsa means there should not be any doubt that Krishna can protect. Just like sometimes children, they roam freely, they sing freely, they dance freely. You have seen children, sometimes they come to temple hall also here. They just dance and, you know, stroll back and forth and sing, and sometimes they pay offer obeisances and some offer some prayers, all freely. No anxieties in their mind. Because all their anxieties, they know, is with their parents. The parents are taking care of them, so they don't worry about anything. They are simply happy, singing, dancing and things like that. Whenever they need something, they know they are going to get it. Similarly, Prabhupada gives one example. There was one, this man went with a small boy, kid, to the zoo. The child was watching various animals in the cages and clasping the father's hand while doing so. And one place, a lion just attacked him like this from the cage. And this boy also attacked back at him like this. Why he did that? Because he knows my father is here. His father is there to take care of him. Therefore he could dare to, you know, say something against the lion. But not knowing, the father cannot actually defend him. He is depending on his father. This father cannot defend him. But a real father, Krishna, if we have no doubts, we know that he can actually defend us in any circumstances. So when that full consciousness is there, that Krishna is my protector, that full attachment is there to Krishna, then when you hear about Krishna, then that lost taste for Krishna consciousness will be gradually revived, easily revived. So Prabhupada says, all these activities, therefore, like Ambarish Maharaj doing so many things, it may seem to be very, from external point of view, seem to be very kind of, you know, somebody is doing something, offering some arti or offering some bhoga, chanting Hare Krishna. But if we see from outside, we cannot understand it properly. Therefore, we are unable to perform those activities in a proper spirit. Therefore, Prabhupada says that one must execute devotional service under the guidance of a devotee or directly under the guidance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, the second choice is not available for us right now, as far as we can see. Arjuna got that opportunity. Arjuna had Krishna right next to him, who was guiding him in a very loving way. So, it is not possible to train oneself without guidance from the spiritual master. And we have seen ourselves. Like I also, I think long back I purchased Bhagavad Gita as it is. And I was trying to read it, trying to understand it. But whenever I read it with my own previous conditionings, with my own ideas, previous understandings, and tried to seek those part of Gita which was going to help me at that point of time with various desires and, you know, goals and prospects. Therefore, I was never able to capture the true meaning of Gita. Although I had same Bhagavad Gita by Prabhupada, it was with me. But later when I came in contact with devotees and I was hearing from them, at that point things started becoming more and more clear. One thing was that I was trying to know what I want to know. Later I got to know what Krishna wants me to know. The two different things. So when the devotee's association is very, very precious, and Prabhupada is making it very clear, it is not possible to train oneself without guidance from the spiritual master. So therefore, according to the instructions of Srila Rupa Goswami, the first business of a devotee is to accept a bona fide spiritual master who can train him to engage his various senses in rendering transcendental service to the Lord. So all these activities of Krishna consciousness, although externally it may appear very simple, but it has to be done in a proper way, and that proper way makes it all different thing. And that requires guidance. Otherwise nobody will understand. Actually one will be very bored doing these activities. In fact, it is explained, Prabhupada explains in one place, if you do not do deity worship in a proper mood, then this archa vigraha become kalagraha, or like it becomes a burden on a person who is worshipping them. So therefore this training is a constant requirement in the association of devotees. So we are very fortunate to be here because we got so many good association of so many senior devotees. And of course we have His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. And because of all this association, we are able to engage our mind and senses in a very, very proper way and develop attachment to Krishna. So it's a very great fortunate situation for all of us. So here Krishna is asking Arjuna to focus. Maya Sakta Mana Partha. So this word Partha comes because he is son of Pritha or Kunti, Queen Kunti, who is sister of Vasudev. That means Queen Kunti is actually aunt of Lord Sri Krishna. So this affection for this material world or attachment to this material world needs to be cut before we develop an attachment to test Krishna consciousness. Because we cannot combine both of them, their different nature. In this world, we cannot mix up various tastes. Just like you cannot drink grape juice and Kerala juice simultaneously. One glass you have to keep down. You know, you have to relinquish one of them. Then only you can release or get benefit of the other. We cannot release Kerala juice, but we can get the benefit. But we cannot take two together. It doesn't make any sense. Similarly, the Krishna consciousness or the spiritual life is of a different nature. The nature of material happiness, material attachments is different, and attachment to Krishna and service to Krishna is a different nature. They cannot go together. Or, while developing a higher taste, as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, one has to relinquish the taste of lower things. Just like is explained many times that somebody is a learned person, scholar. So he writes poetry or does some painting or engages in solving some very, very, very intricate problems, some computer programming, things like that. When one is observing that activities and releasing that activity, at the same time he is not bothered to eat or sleep. That happens in this world. So the lower taste of eating and sleeping that animals do anyway, they eat and sleep, that's all, eat, sleep and mate. So, but these people, they give up these things, they give up eating and sleeping, and sometimes mating also, they give up. They don't release those things because they are releasing something which is higher and which has a different nature. Now eating something is one type of nature, we taste something, it's a different kind of pleasure, it's a kind of pleasure and its nature is different than getting the pleasure of writing a piece of poetry or writing or solving some problems. The nature of pleasure by solving a problem is not same as nature of pleasure we get by eating something. They are different nature. Similarly, this spiritual love or the attraction for Krishna, the nature of the whole thing is completely different in its nature. Therefore, we cannot cultivate material affection or material pleasure side by side with spiritual pleasure. They go ill together, as Prabhupada says. They go ill together. Or it's like trying to light a fire, at the same time throw some water instead of some fuel. So throwing water will not help the fire to start. So therefore, this material attachment, Krishna is requesting Arjuna again and again, you give it up. Just focus what I'm going to say now. Try to focus on me. And here, Kunti Devi, who is mother of Arjun, in a very beautiful prayers, she is requesting Krishna to cut off her own material attachments. Now Kunti Devi is aunt of Krishna. She lives in a family of she is sister of Vasudev and she is mother of Arjun. So Pandavas. So Krishna is related to both Pandavas and Vrishnis, or the families of Vasudev. And she lives in both families. So Krishna is always available to her in one sense. But still, she is asking Krishna to cut off the family attachment to both Vrishnis and Pandus. Just allow me to focus completely on you. That is her request. That is her prayer. So in this beautiful verse, he says, Atha Bishyasa Vishwatman Vishwamurte Svake Sume Sneha Pasam Imam Chindi Drudham Pandusu Vrishnisu. See, this relationship with Pandavas and Vrishnis, it's very deep. Drudha means, Prabhupada says, very deep relationship. It's very, very intricate. Very strong. And you are Vishwasa. You are the Iswara. You are the Iswara of, you are the controller of everything. So kindly, you cut off Sneha Pasam, Pasam Imam Chindi. This Sneha Pasa is very, very intricate and very, very strongly bound. And I cannot cut myself. Therefore, I request, please Krishna, you cut it off. So, when a devotee understands this position of his helpless situation in this world, and when he understands that because of this attachment, there is illusion, and because of there is illusion, there is suffering. Therefore, to end this suffering, I have to overcome this attachment. So, I'll just read these few of these purports Prabhupada writing so nicely, and try to speak in between. So he says, O Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please therefore sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. But why she is praying for cutting of the relationships? In the next verse, she explains. And she prays actually. And this is the verse which comes in this journey home in the beginning. Maharaj writes that Twai me ananya visaya matir madhupate sakrit ratim udvatad adha gangeyu vagham udvanti. This is the verse Maharaj writes in the beginning of journey home. That O Lord of Madhu, Madhupate, and Maharaj says, my sweet Lord, he says, my sweet Lord, Madhu. O my sweet Lord, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being divided to anyone else. So Kunti Maharani is praying, let my attraction to you constantly flow like Mother Ganges. Now, Mother Ganga is flowing and so many obstacles comes in between, but she just, you know, goes across them. They kind of saying, excuse me, and just goes ahead. So, similarly, she wants, Kunti Devi wants, that her attraction to Krishna should be like that, like Mother Ganga. And Prabhupada writes in purport, so the perfection of pure devotional service is attained when all attention is diverted towards transcendental loving service of the Lord. To cut off the tie of all other affection, now she is asking to cut off my affection to the families. So here she says, Prabhupada says, to cut off this tie of other affection does not mean complete negation of the finer elements, like affection for someone else. That is not possible. you have to hear a little carefully because time is getting close. So we have to be a little, maybe thoda. I'm not able to focus because time is coming closer, 9:15. But it is very interesting. We'll focus a little bit. A living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of affection for others because this is a symptom of life. The symptoms of life, such as desire, anger, hankerings, and feelings of attraction, cannot be annihilated. Only the objective has to be changed. Desire cannot be negated. But in devotional service, the desire is changed only for the service of the Lord in place of desire for sense gratification. When this desire is changed for satisfaction of the Lord, it is called devotional service. So in the Bhagavad Gita, we can see that Arjuna desired not to fight with his brothers and relations, just to satisfy his own personal desires. But when he heard the message of Lord, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, he changed his decision and served the Lord. And for doing so, he became a famous devotee. The fighting was there, the friendship was there, Arjuna was there and Krishna was there, but Arjuna became a different person by devotional service. Therefore, the prayers of Kunti also indicate the same categorical changes in activities. Srimati Kunti wanted to serve the Lord without diversion, and that was her prayer. This unalloyed devotion is the ultimate goal of life. Her affection for the Pandavas and Vishnis is not out of range of devotional service. So here is one point. Because the service of the Lord and the service of the devotees are identical. So Prabhupada is explaining that although service to the Pandavas and Vishnis is not out of the range of devotional service. Like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the South India tour, he told Gopal Bhatt Goswami to serve his parents. Because service to devotees, parents are devotees, is not different from serving to Lord. Sometimes it is more than that. Prabhupada says, sometimes service to devotees is more valuable than service to the Lord. But here, the affection of Kunti Devi for Pandavas and the Vrishnis was due to family relation. So the problem comes. Arjuna showed compassion to his friends and immediately he became entangled by material energy or the illusory force or the material attachment immediately develops. This is a very finer thing actually. So when Kunti Devi tries to show her affection or service, extends her service to Pandavas and Vishnis, immediately she gets entangled by the affection of, these are my sons, these are my relatives. And that material affection immediately entangles her and she tends to forget Krishna. So therefore, she is saying, I don't want it. Because this is not desired by Krishna and this is not desired for me also. So therefore, one has to be very careful while dealing with material energy. So, but here the affection of Kunti Devi for Pandavas and Vishnis was due to family relation. This tie of affection in terms of material relation is relation of Maya. Because the relations of the body or the mind are due to the influence of the external energy. Relations of soul established in relations with Supreme Soul are factual relations. When Kunti Devi wanted to cut off the family relation, she meant to cut off the relation with the skin. The skin relation is the cause of material bondage. But the relationship of soul is the cause of freedom. This relation of soul to the soul can be established by via medium of the relationship with the super soul. Then Prabhupada gives a very nice analogy. He says, seeing in the darkness is not seeing. So this whole material energy, the whole affection, love, hatred, anger, everything, towards which we are attracted, towards which we are entangled, with which we are entangled and thus trying to enjoy and suffer. This whole thing is like a darkness because we are not able to come out of it. We cannot see. Like Arjuna had everything. He has all material power. He had all knowledge. He had all military strength. He had all the skills. Successful, handsome, everything. But then he was confused. Being in this world, part of this world. So, seeing in darkness is not seeing. You are seeing, your eyes are open, but everything is dark. What can you see? Like we were in Wada farm recently. It was a moonless night. And we couldn't see anything. It's all dark. But we are seeing, eyes are open, but we cannot see. But seeing the light of the sun means seeing the sun and everything else which was unseen in the darkness. So Krishna Surya Shama. Krishna is like sun. If we bring Krishna in our life, then we will be able to see everything very clearly. That is the way of devotional service. So in this way, various things are explained by Srila Prabhupada. And in this particular verse, the Aditi, she is focusing her mind, controlling her senses completely on the Supreme Lord by detaching herself from the material affection and material entanglement. And then we can actually enter the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, thank you very much for your kind attention. Since it's already late, I will not take any questions. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuranam ki, Jai. Tagore Premanande.